Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba. And we still have here in the studio with us Rick Mangan of Mangan Wealth Management. In case anybody wants to touch base with you after this, Rick, I know you only accept clients if they're doing both wealth management and CPA services, but would you share your information with our listeners so in case somebody wants to reach out afterward?
Absolutely, yeah. Our business phone number is 206-441-1980. And you can reach me at my email, which is rick@manganwm.com. Mangan is M-A-N-G-A-N.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. So, Eric, you had a question as we got to the end of the last segment about 1031 exchanges.
Right. Well, talking about investment property, so some of our Seattle landlords are going to be thinking about selling their properties.
Yes, they're working their leverage right now. Yep.
And anytime you sell an investment property, at least in the past, if you purchase another investment property, you can most likely take advantage of the 1031 tax-deferred exchange-like kind program and avoid paying capital gains on the sale of that property as long as you follow all the rules and purchase another investment property. So did that 1031 rule survive the new tax law?
The one that you mentioned is pretty much intact. There are tweaks to the 1031 that are really not designed for real estate. Some of the business owners would be able to 1031, airplanes, heavy equipment, trucks, cows and steers, but they could not be 1031 for each other.
I did not know you could do that before.
No, cows for planes.
Well, no, I knew you couldn't do that, but I didn't know that just livestock for livestock. That's but I get it. That's a business. Okay.
It is, yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, the one little tidbit, not here in Seattle probably does that come up too often. But
Eastern Washington, I bet it does.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, a lot of those are out, but the real estate is still alive and well, so the 1031 still works there.
Excellent. Okay.
Well, with all these people who are selling their property in the city of Seattle, make sure to point that out to them. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, some people are actually taking a look at whether or not they just want to cash it out and just say, I'll deal with my long-term capital gains. It just depends on what they're getting out of it, right? Some folks, like the guy that I'm going to be putting his property on this week, he's not doing an exchange. Like for him, he's like, I'm in this situation. I'm just retiring. I just want that money available to me, put it somewhere else, put it safe. And then we've got other people who, frankly, there's a lot of folks that are selling their Seattle properties and they're going places like Spokane. And so they just want to make sure and do that exchange and they can save a lot of that tax money and insert it into a new property. And especially when you're buying in a cheaper marketplace, that makes a big difference on what your purchasing power can be in a big way. So
in that example, you're probably going to cash out some possibly, and so you would just pay tax on whatever you receive and whatever you cash out.
Your boot.
Got it. Okay, excellent. What other key changes to the tax plan should our listeners know about, Rick?
There's a few other ones out there, probably for the real estate investors. There's actually a Section 179 available for some of the personal property assets.
Sure.
That would apply to appliances, maybe the laundry, some equipment, some furniture, if you're...
Is where Section 179, you can basically write off the cost of this investment all in the same year. You don't have to depreciate it over a series of years. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
There's a new 25-year depreciation life, which will be very beneficial. The one thing that is still in play, though, there's still the passive activity loss deduction. So a lot of my clients have rental real estate. They produce losses. And so those losses get deferred. So some of these, although you might be able to take additional deductions, there's still going to be the passive activity losses.
That one is always steamy. That I don't know who in their right mind thinks that managing a rental property is a passive activity, but it's considered passive activity in the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, what else?
Well, I know those you were talking earlier about gift rule changes.
Oh, right, right, right. So mom and dad want to gift their kids some money for the down payment to purchase a home?
And that's what you're talking about? Well, yeah, because that's happening a lot in the Seattle area now. Because a lot of people aren't able to save fast enough based on the appreciation rates that are going around.
That's right. We're seeing some herkin huge gift amounts, too.
Yeah, that's a technical term there, folks. Yeah, herkin huge.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. We have seen some extreme. We had one client, it was $400,000.
Right.
It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's the deal with that?
The federal gift and estate laws changed a little bit, and they basically doubled overnight. Federal for somebody who's single, now it's a little bit over $11 million. Somebody who's married, you know, you got $22 million there. Now, the one thing is that, you know, if we were to go back to, I think, 99, 2000, the limit was $1 million at the federal level. Mm-hmm. And the state was coupled with the feds at that $1 million. When the feds went up to this $5 million, the state said, okay, we're decoupling. We're no longer going to go along with the same path that you are. We're going to limit it at $2 million.
And
it's been adjusted, so it's a little, for inflation, it's a little bit over $2 million now.
In Washington State?
In Washington State specifically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's clarify that. So mom and dad give a gift to the kid for $2 million, let's say. Dad, if you're listening.
Anyway. That's you, Larry.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's laughing right now. He'll tell me whatever there was, it's been spent, you know, move on. But anyway, so let's say they
gave it to
this.
Lance.
Yeah, we're talking about it's the donor, not the recipient that would potentially have a gift tax to pay, correct?
Yes, the recipient has no limit on the amount of gifts that they can receive.
Right, so that's
just
wide
hit
open.
Everybody.
Oh, yep. Good gosh, yes.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Now,
I have a lot of customers that are confused thinking that their limit is $14,000.
Well, there's an annual exclusion. And so in 2017, a couple years prior, there was $14,000 that you can receive as a gift. And the donor does not have to file any sort of return to report that.
Okay.
And so when you're talking mom and dad, you know, now it's $28,000. Now if mom and dad are giving to their son and his wife, now we're up to $56,000.
Okay.
2017. Right. 2018, that pushed up to $15,000. So,
okay.
So now we're $15,000.
So not a huge bump, but a little bit.
Exactly.
So, okay. So a parent. A relative, let's say a close relative, can give more than the $15,000 per person, and it's just if they're under the $15,000 per person, they don't have to file anything on their tax return. If they go over that amount, then they're going to file notice. There's a form.
They'll have to file a gift tax return, and basically that gift tax return is reporting this taxable gift. But you get this lifetime exclusion.
So there's still not going to be taxes paid on it. They just have to report it.
It has to be reported, and it's going to reduce your lifetime exclusion.
Got it.
Okay, and so just out of curiosity, so if someone does end up doing that, are they tracking it at the IRS over time? That, like, let's say somebody did do, okay, like the one customer, he got $400,000, and if he was to receive like another $100,000 next year or something, like is the IRS tracking it, or is that up to the individual to make sure they're tracking it in their records to know whether or not they ever hit that threshold?
Well, the individual files the gift tax return, and on each gift tax return, you will state how much of your
okay. So the individual is doing it. Okay,
they've got to keep track of it. The IRS has records where they can always go back.
So if you have the same CPA for a long time, that'll be an easy thing. But if you start swapping people out, you need to make sure that they're looking at your past records.
You need to make sure that your gift tax returns goes to your new CPA. So. You can see the history there.
Yes.
Excellent. Wow. Great information, Rick. Again, it's Rick Mangan from Mangan Wealth Management. We're really, really glad that you're on the show today.
And can
super,
I just throw
super helpful. Yeah.
I'm going to just throw it out as a PSA. So I'm part of that Tom Ferry coaching group. And I will tell you, I love having you on, Rick, because I consider you a very professional CPA and doing the wealth management. But there's a lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, get free services from, you know, like Uncle Ron or Aunt Mary or something like that. And this coaching group I'm in is they're like, if you're getting your taxes done in that manner, stop. Go out and find a professional, because that person, you're getting what you pay for, probably. So it's good to have you on here. We appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much, Rick Mangan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening for another episode of Open House with Team Reba. Hope you found this informative today. Listen to us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock on 1300 KKOL. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/Max Metro East Side on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Tuesday at 3 for more Open House with Team Reba here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL. Program sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. Business.